Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. Let me ask you a question as we look at all the events that are taking place foreign policy-wise. Did President Obama just give China's president a free pass? This is the title of a new article that just came out yesterday in the Financial Times. The author of the article is Liz Peek, and she writes this. She says, President Obama's cup runneth over. Not only did Pope Francis give his blessing to the president's climate crusade, but the Chinese president, Jinping, chimed in, promising to roll out the nationwide cap-and-trade program by 2007. Now, this is interesting because there are a lot of things going on with China right now, right? We have things like China's military buildup in the South China Sea. We have, obviously, the issues that are related to China's human rights issues. Let me put it mildly that way. In fact, I think Human Rights Watch called it an extraordinary assault on basic human rights that is taking place right now in China. So we got that taking place. And what about all of those cyber threats that we've been experiencing from China? You know, all of those cyber attacks that some are being thwarted, some other ones are actually being successful. We don't know exactly a good dollar figure on how much has been stolen by China and so forth. Should they really get a pass? Well, we're going to talk with Liz Peek about that as the author of this article. Liz is not only the author of that article, but she's a columnist for FoxNews.com as well as for the Financial Times. Liz, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Liz, a lot going on. You got a full-time job and
oh
then
gosh.
Some trying to
it's
cover.
It's staggering.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about Russia, but we'll save that towards the end of the broadcast because we've got China that is flared up here again. Tell us what you write about in this article.
Well, unfortunately, the president sets his priorities, and in the case of President Obama, the priorities are not necessarily those of the nation. There was much talk ahead of this bilateral meeting, which, as you recall, ended with a state dinner being hosted, the second one actually hosted for Xi Jinping by President Obama. And the talk was about how Obama was really going to get tough on cyber intrusions, had been threatening to impose sanctions on Chinese individuals and institutions behind those cyber thefts and intrusions. And, of course, it all came to naught because what really was on the president's agenda was to get China to agree to some sort of what turned out to be a very weak and meaningless agreement on climate change, because that is the president's big push right now.
Mm-hmm.
What offends me is the following. Number one, China actually does have a gigantic pollution problem. Their country, for those who haven't been to China, I can tell you from personal experience that on a bad day in Beijing, you literally cannot see across the street. The air is so foul that the airport shuts regularly because of visibility problems. Mm. People are literally leaving the country because they cannot breathe. As a result, the Chinese leadership is seeing increased numbers and intensity of demonstrations against the government over pollution, polluted waters, polluted air, etc. This is something, so in other words, they have an enormous self-interest right now. Even one of their government agency, the environmental agency there, has warned that this issue threatens social stability. That is code in China for, you know, basically the Chinese party could really have a problem because of this. So President Xi Jinping is not stupid, and obviously they are very concerned about any rise in demonstrations or pushback from the people of China. And so he has been interested in and pursuing what we would consider a pretty soft climate effort for the last 3 or 4 years. If you remember, in 2013, I think it was, he gave Obama kind of a big win by suggesting that emissions might peak at some date in the future, 2030, and didn't commit to it, but said it could happen. And, of course, it will happen because China's economy is slowing, as we all know, but it's actually slowing for demographic and sort of structural reasons and shifting away from polluting manufacturing industry. So there's very likely going to be a peaking in emissions. Has nothing to do with what they're doing for us or for the world. It's kind of just where they're going. And similarly, this agreement extracted nothing. It cost them nothing. But in return, we basically, we meaning President Obama on behalf of the American people, basically gave them a pass on the cyber thefts and the cyber intrusions, which now we know have compromised the classified data involving tens of millions of Americans and, as you pointed out in your introduction, cost American industries and companies hundreds of billions of dollars in stolen technology, stolen intellectual capital. These are very real things, and anyone who knows someone who runs a big company, particularly an engineering company or anything like that, they've all been hacked by the Chinese. Their trade secrets have been exposed or stolen. It's, you know, and our government, and by the way, a lot of business leaders have kind of given China a pass on this for decades. It's been going on for a long time. But this was the moment with China's economy under pressure to kind of begin to exert a little pressure on this topic, and basically Obama whiffed.
Yeah, the Chinese knockoffs are legendary.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just an accepted fact, and yet it is actually costing U.S. businesses billions of dollars. And no wonder why periodically we hear people complaining that it's not a level playing field. And how can we? How can they compete? They want to be on the global stage. They want to sell their goods in China, but with this wink and a nod where they're given not only the a green light from their own government, but from our government as well, it just makes the business environment unpalatable would be not a strong enough term, unconscionable. It's difficult for them to be able to make any money in that type of environment, right?
Well, actually, that's exactly right. And in fact, a lot of companies that do business in China do not make much money. I remember going back a few years, like 3 or 4 years ago, I wrote a piece with a woman, interestingly, a woman named Virginia Kamsky, who had been with David Rockefeller, when he first traveled to China, which was one of the first business people to arrive there. And she describes this haunting scene of arriving at literally a tar shack airport outside Beijing, driving in on the one highway that then existed, and anyone who's been there could kind of imagine this is pretty shocking. It's only like 40 years ago. And on either side of the highway, there were soldiers shooting birds out of the sky because Mao had determined that birds were bourgeois. So just giving you a sort of idea. But anyway, Virginia has been involved in China. She lived there for a long time, and she works with companies. And her description to me was that companies basically leave their common sense on the border when they go in to do business in China. They're so excited about getting into China that they basically don't demand fair play, and they don't get fair play. I mean, the classic story, and I personally know of someone very well to whom this happened, was you go in, you have a partner, a local partner, which is required, you build a factory, does very well for a couple of years, and then 2 years in, you find your sales dropping precipitously. That's because that local partner has moved down the road 5 miles. This is no exaggeration. Built a replica, identical factory, and is basically doing what you do, but doing it cheaper.
Hmm.
That kind of story, seriously, is epidemic in China. But business leaders have been so determined to do business there that we have overlooked it. We've overlooked all the corruption and the bad and the, you know, as you say, unfair play. But this, I must say, having our president basically just give everything, I mean, just roll over. And by the way, the fact sheet from the White House on the agreements reached is up on the White House website, and it's a pretty sorry tale.
Hmm. And all of that, all of the looking the other way with the egregious offenses from China, is all a result of the president is so bent on pushing this climate change initiative that he's willing to just let all that go in order to get this thing going and get it a global acceptance of it?
I believe that is an enormous quest. You know, this president, I think this is a fair statement. I think this president came into office looking over his shoulder at his legacy from day one. I've never seen a president, but I've never seen even any human being so consumed with what history will say about him later. I mean, literally, you can go back to 2009 when he took office, January, and find comments about legacy issues. This is now his biggest remaining legacy, is this climate deal. And as you know, later this year in Paris, global leaders will meet to try and hammer out some sort of global deal. And Obama wants to be the author of that, wants to basically lead the world in agreeing to something that will restrain carbon emissions over the next 20, 30 years. And in the process, of course, he has put in place policies which are seriously disadvantageous to the United States. China now, just for the record, has carbon emissions, produces carbon emissions twice the level we do. What they are doing to rein those in is virtually nothing. We, are, on the other hand, through the EPA regulations that Obama has spun out, are trying to really constrain our use of fossil fuels. And the stupid thing about this is, if we are indeed in a competitive race, and I believe we are globally, for trade, for production, et cetera, the biggest advantage, we have two huge advantages versus the rest of the world. One, we speak English, which thankfully is still the world's global language. Secondly, we have cheap energy, something, by the way, we didn't even know we had 10 years ago. And that is sort of an astonishing development. I had a many-year history in Wall Street and being involved in the energy industries. Believe me, no one knew that we were going to tap into vast, almost unlimited natural gas reserves because of fracking, and also turn around a long-term decline in oil production, which we have drastically done. And again, all of this is a big surprise. It's the kind of surprise that should lead our political leaders to sit down and say, wow, this is really a big difference in our economic outlook. How do we best take advantage of this? Instead, it has had no impact on our industrial policy or trade objectives. And instead, President Obama is doing everything he can to basically squash this advantage that the United States holds and make sure that we don't use it. And to me, it's one of the most offensive things about this administration.
You mentioned President Obama being interested in this because of his legacy. Does it also deal with, since there is such a minimal impact, that even if all of these efforts that they're, or recommendations that they're putting forward were adopted, the actual science is showing a very, very minimal impact on the environment itself. Is it more about wealth redistribution and power? Is it more about knocking the United States down to size, like Dinesh D'Souza laid out there in the Obama's anti-colonialism? Is there more here than just that he wants to be remembered as someone who was friendly to the environment?
You know, I talk to people every day who begin or who believe that all of this is part of a plan. I talked to someone today about Syria and my outrage at how clueless this administration is, how behind the eight ball we constantly are. And you have to say, I am sympathetic with, though I haven't bought into, the notion that it's all part of a plan, because it's almost inconceivable that anyone could be so, and I don't mean anyone, it's obviously not Obama totally, but he comes from the top, that any administration could be so hapless. And that's kind of the right word. As to your question, is the climate agenda about world redistribution of income? It's when you listen to Pope Francis talk about it, the answer is yes. He wants basically the developed world to help out underdeveloped world, and he is pitching it in a way targeting climate initiatives that would help the poor and disenfranchised. It is sort of an interesting muddle of objectives, but I do think there is a point to be made that that's part of the plan.
You know, you mentioned so hapless an administration, and yet so unaccountable. You would think that with all of these things that we can point to, where we can't really point to a real foreign policy success, not at home here, a lackluster economy, to say the least, and so forth. All of these things going on, and yet you would think that this would be an insurmountable amount of data, that the president, his numbers would be tanking, and the American people would be demanding some sort of change, and I don't see that happening.
I totally agree with you, and it's depressing to me, because at the end of the day, I always have confidence in the American voter. Now, mind you, in 2014, the American voter went in and basically handed a major rebuff to the Obama presidency. And I say that because it was a referendum. If you can recall, it became a referendum on Obama. It didn't have to do with any of the issues. It didn't have to do with the surge of immigrants across the border, or the Bowie-Bergdahl scandal, or the Veterans Administration scandal. It had to do with all of those things, and all of them were taken to mean that the Obama White House was just absolutely fatally wounded and inept. It was inept. So eventually Americans get it right, but unfortunately, look, we have a media which, for the most part, is loath to really criticize this president. I have to say, I think they're kind of cashing in. If you read between the lines, everyone is exasperated by things like Obama's constant warnings to Putin, or warnings to Xi Jinping, warnings that never come to anything.
No.
I mean, it's, you know, any mother will tell you, if you keep telling your children, if you do that one more time, I'm sending you to your room, and you never follow through,
yes.
Guess what? They keep doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've been on both sides of that equation that you just mentioned there. I got to ask you quickly about Russia then. The words of President Obama keep coming back in my ears. They seem to, his own words condemn him, where he mocked Mitt Romney during that debate and said the 1980s would like their foreign policy back. He hooted at him for thinking that Russia was even a major player whatsoever. Boy, Mitt Romney's been quite vindicated, hasn't he?
He certainly has. And by the way, so is the current player in this role, Marco Rubio, who, you know, in the debate said, here's what's going to happen. Russia's going to do this and that in Syria, and they've done exactly what he said.
Mm.
Look, there are people who look at this with a clear eye, and there are people who don't. Obama has not understood Putin from day one. And by the way, I posted on my Facebook page a piece by Ralph Peters that's a little over the top, and he says a lot of stuff. He just basically calls it cowardice. But I think he pulls, I mean, he throws some pretty good punches, and I think he's right. I think this is a matter of mano a mano a little bit, and Obama is getting hammered, and he just doesn't get it, that that's what it's all about, that it's about Putin versus Obama about, as proxies for Russia versus the U.S. And guess all this talk from Kerry and from Obama and Ash Carter about how this is not in Russia's best interest. What do they think? Yeah. I mean, it's in Putin's best interest, folks. That's what's working for Putin.
That's right. He seems to be rebuilding the Soviet empire while we're over here still with a hapless policy, if you want to call it that, and who we're even supporting anymore in Syria. Just nobody could tell you if I took a microphone out in the street. Nobody could still tell you who the good guys are and who the bad guys are or who we're supporting and why we should be.
Isn't it true? It's just
completely.
So
yes, it is. I think you're absolutely right about he seems to be intimidated. Maybe all those pictures of Putin with his shirt off wrestling tigers. It didn't impress me a whole lot, but apparently it really scared the daylights out of President Obama. They have these ads running where President Obama is on the little bicycle and then Putin is like riding a bull or something. And, it just doesn't seem to compare. Let me ask you, with all of this going on, I've been wanting to ask you, Liz, for a long time. People are very, very concerned about the financial stability of the United States. When we see all this and now we're bringing all these extra refugees in, plus what's going on the southern border, everybody's just like, man, we can't afford this. $20 trillion in debt and just seems to be getting worse. Both sides of the aisle don't seem to have a solution for this. How concerned? We've only got a couple minutes left, but how concerned should we be about the financial stability of the United States?
I'm not concerned about the financial stability of the United States. This is a mighty country. It's the number one economy in the world. We have the world's greatest energy resource, literally the greatest energy resources now, which, again, is a big surprise to everybody, the world's best agriculture, the world's best manufacturing plant, somewhat in decline, to be sure, but still incredibly mighty. We have everything a country could possibly want. All we lack is leadership. Mm. And by the way, it's not just leadership on the left. I think it's also leadership on the right.
Mm-hmm.
There are obvious things that can be fixed, and we're not fixing them. And you know what? I'm just as frankly, and I'm sure it'll make a lot of your listeners angry, but I'm just as fed up with the guys on the right that, for example, who have made, for reasons that are impossible to determine, the Ex-Im Bank a symbol of what's wrong with the country.
Hmm.
I've written a piece about this, but the Ex-Im Bank actually contributes money to the nation's purse. It is a money-making government agency, one of the very few, by the way, in existence.
Mm.
It is something that helps big corporations, without a doubt. What's wrong with that? Most Americans, despite all the stuff you read about small businesses, most Americans would be better off working for big corporations that have good benefits, that pay well, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a lame effort to stamp out crony capitalism, which I understand is an issue. We are disadvantaging some of our most competitive companies, like Boeing, which is a great American company, mm-hmm. biggest maker of commercial airplanes in the world. Why would we want to clip their wings even for a nanosecond when it doesn't cost taxpayers anything?
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually get money coming from the Ex-Im Bank. Your listeners who have bought into this nonsense from Ted Cruz and others should go and read about the Ex-Im Bank, because honestly, this is just one of these harebrained things that has become a big, touchstone,
mm-hmm.
and it's totally inappropriate.
Hmm. Well, you're much more qualified than I am to discuss and to talk about that issue of the Ex-Im Bank. I don't know what the motivation is there of making that a major part of the issue.
It's
when
a
I
talking
think,
point.
Yeah.
Know? It's become a stupid talking point, but there are so many of these stupid red herrings. We really have to get to business in this country,
mm-hmm.
and it discourages me that there's so few people ready to do that.
One more question. We got less than a minute, but with your financial background and so forth, any of those candidates looking more appealing to you?
Huh. Well, the person I like is Marco Rubio, and I'll tell you why, very simply. There is nobody like a recent immigrant or son of recent immigrants or daughter who is more passionate about what is good about the United States. And after 7 years of having a president who doesn't get that, who doesn't really in his heart love what is essential about the United States, I'm ready for someone who not only believes it, but who can talk about it, who can get people excited about it, and, by the way, who has really dug into and worked for several years now on foreign policy. I think Rubio kind of understands what's going on in the Middle East, is capable of making decent decisions there, but again, has the essential understanding about what is exceptional about the United States, and that is key.
Well, good statements there. Liz, we really appreciate you writing these articles. They're very informative, and we appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us for a few moments here on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you. Again, that was Liz Peek. Liz is a columnist for FoxNews.com. She also writes for the Fiscal Times, And the article that we were just talking about in the broadcast today came from the Fiscal Times. And so the article was entitled, Obama Gives China's President a Pass on Cyber Theft. And so you can read that article in its entirety out there at thefiscaltimes.com. It's thefiscaltimes.com.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.